Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
June 17th, and we are sponsored by Discover Lancaster. So we know that we have the latest shooting of a teenager, a 17-year-old shot in West Philadelphia. But over the weekend, a lot of violence with five teens shot, one killed, after what police call pop-up gatherings taking place across the city, especially in Fairmount Park. So the first one happened, I believe, Friday night into Saturday. That one happened on the 2400 block of Greenland Drive, right near the Woodford Mansion. They were in the area, the police were in the area of 33rd and Ridge after getting several reports of teens and young adults gathering in these, what they're calling impromptu pop-up parties. Usually these happen with thanks to social media, that, you know, social media, there's an announcement, hey, go here, and the crowds show up. So police try to proactively disperse those crowds. And at that point, this all started Friday night late. This was the first one, police hearing gunshots in Fairmount Park, two people injured in that one. But overall, we had at least five teens shot in those so-called pop-up parties. And then we did have, over the weekend, two people injured in a shooting in the Frankfurt section of Philadelphia. That one happened Saturday night, about 9:45, 10 o'clock at night. A man and a woman had been shot in their car. We don't actually have much more information than the fact they're listed in stable condition and no arrests, no word yet on what led to that gunfire. So we have that going on. Philadelphia police asking for the public's help in IDing a pair of suspects accused of residential burglary. So these guys are posing as construction workers going door to door. And so in most of these, they target senior citizens and knock at the door. You know, they're dressed appropriately, maybe even have a clipboard. They're posing as a construction worker saying, hey, we're doing some work in the area. And they talk that victim into letting them inside the home.
Wow. That's, I mean, diabolical and disgusting, especially with senior citizens.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, people that are retired and at home and vulnerable. And these guys are showing up like, Bob the Tool Man.
Yeah. And to your point, you know, you think about this week, heat wave, people with windows and, you know, doors open, screen doors. So it's easier to access people who might be sitting out on the porch or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have AC. So they're putting this warning out. There were no threats or force used against the victims in these cases, but they did get away with, you know, one suspect distracts the person, the other one runs upstairs, heads for jewelry, that sort of thing.
Unbelievable. Wouldn't surprise me if people started showing up as air conditioning repairmen.
Oh, that's a good one, yeah.
HVAC workers, things like that. Try to throw people off. Next thing you know, they're in there ransacking the joint.
It's a great point. Well, we do have word out, and there is a $11,000 reward being offered for the shoplifter of all shoplifters. They're calling this one the cigarette bandit, who stole, actually, there are rewards, but they stole more than $11,000 worth of cigarettes. They're offering some rewards by Walgreens on this one, $11,000 in cigarettes. This is the New Linden Hill Road, Wilmington, Delaware, Walgreens.
Wow.
That's a lot of cigarettes.
My man either has a major nicotine addiction or he's trying to resell these on some sort of market.
You can probably get a good, I mean, that's a lot of, I mean, these days with what cigarettes cost.
Yeah, what do they cost?
I have
no idea. $10 a pack, probably?
I have no idea. Because the taxes on them are so much.
Oh, it's outrageous. Who still smokes these days?
Yeah, I feel like it's a small percentage, right?
I don't know.
I'd love to find out what the numbers are. I'll go under 30% of Americans. Under 30%. But that does not include vaping.
It does not include vaping.
Would be my guess.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, we have a town along the Jersey Shore with, we talked about this in Margate, but obviously down the Jersey Shore, whether it's Wildwood, Ocean City, Sea Isle, over the past couple of weeks since Memorial Day, since all the violence and disruptions broke out, a lot of shore communities trying to deal with the situation. So in this one in Margate, they're trying to get ahead of this issue. Tickets issued to parents or guardians who knowingly leave their children unsupervised. So the city forbids children under the age of 17 from being in public places between 10 p.m. and 6 a.m., so overnight, basically. And fines, if you're, especially if there's an unruly youth, the juveniles, the fines range from $100 to $1,000 and up to 90 days of community service.
Wow. $1,000 will sting the parents for sure. 90 days of community service, that feels like an eternity for a child.
Well, I think the community service is also for the parents.
Oh, good.
They're saying you, the parent, we're holding you accountable.
Good. Good.
So we got that one going on down the Jersey Shore.
Yeah, I guess that's the best way to control them, right, is to...
We're just entering this territory where parents are now liable for things, right? Like we had that major case in Michigan with the shooting.
Yeah, it's a slippery slope, I think, a little bit.
Agreed.
But in this instance, I like it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I mean, kids are good at getting away with things and say, "Hey, I'm going over to Johnny's house," and they're really, you know, going out and doing things.
Or, mm-hmm. Well, this is what happens when you don't enforce the law and you don't have deterrence. You got to do something that deters people from committing these acts.
But what I'm saying is it always the parents' fault?
No. No.
You know? Like, if they say that, you know, if their son or daughter says they're going place X and they go to place Y.
Right.
Is that their fault? I don't know.
No, I would say no.
But I think I'm glad that if this goes to the issue of parental rights. So if I'm going to be consistent, I'm going to say you, as the parent, you are responsible for your child.
Agreed.
Now, it depends on, to your point, it depends on the situation. I just think they're trying to get it under control. And for those parents who are vacationing down the shore and they just think, woohoo, you go ahead, kids, you be you.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying you will have some level of accountability.
Yeah, rein them in a little bit.
So shaming.
Agreed.
So we got that one. Speaking of shaming. Oh, our Phillies. Phils are coming home. We lost against Baltimore. The Orioles beat us 8-3.
I have a hot take on this.
Yes.
Oh, yeah?
So, you know, I look for warning signs everywhere. I'm Debbie Downer. Everybody calls me Debbie Downer.
Right.
But by the way, I'm usually correct. the Philadelphia Phillies have a really hard time beating American League teams.
Oh. Is that a warning sign for this October?
I'm just saying it's going to be interesting to see how they do against the Yankees at the end of next month.
Okay.
But, you know, between the Baltimore Orioles, who are a really good team, the Boston Red Sox, who aren't a good team but are playing well,
mm-hmm.
The Phillies have a hard time beating American League teams.
Yeah.
There I said it.
Yeah. And the Marlins.
Well, what may make a difference as the Phils return home now and are slated up against the Padres, Trey Turner. So Trey Turner returns as a shortstop. Turner is activated from the injured list after missing 38 games with that strained hamstrings, and Phils went 25-13 during that time.
Yeah, won two out of every three for a guy that's making... What, $350 million to sit at home and rest his hammy?
Well, he's injured.
Oh, I know.
What are you going
to
do?
That's time. It just goes to show you how good this team is. How many teams could have that record without arguably their best player or second best?
I think my favorite Twitter or, you know, social media statement was by Philly Fan Life, who said, not a lip reader, but I think Rob Thompson wished him a happy Father's Day. So Rob Thompson got a little frustrated. Yeah. And a little ejected, but my favorite was when he said, I'm not a lip reader, but I think Rob Thompson was just trying to, you know, wish the you know, a little bit of a happy Father's Day.
Okay.
Managers try and do that when they want to motivate their team a little bit.
Yeah.
Because they're not playing well.
I got to be honest, I didn't pay much attention to the Phillies this weekend. I was too busy cashing my U.S. Open ticket at 20-1 on Bryson DeChambeau and then, you know, playing Trump's course. A lot of golf this weekend for me.
Yeah, we have, by the way, Dawn, we have videos of Nick playing Trump's course. Which we'll get to later in the show.
I tried to keep the paparazzi out, but they weaseled their way in. It was a varmint.
And I was glad that the storms held out so late.
Yes.
Oh, boy, that storm, though, Friday night was crazy.
It blew right around the clubhouse at Trump's course. You could see it coming, and it just went right around us.
There was a confirmed tornado, right, Dawn?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy. So we are sponsored. So much Trump news with Trump coming to Philadelphia this week.
Thanks for that. Thanks for that update. Never mind.
To Nick Cale's alma mater.
Temple.
Temple.
The Leah Chorus Center.
Right?
I haven't stepped foot in that building since I graduated in 06.
So Discover Lancaster, thank you for sponsoring us. Discover more of Lancaster. Pack the family in for some farm fun at the opening weekend of Cherry Crest Adventures Farm in Lancaster County. Just a 90-minute drive from Philadelphia. Visit discoverlancaster.com. Plan your getaway. Speaking of 90, we're supposed to hit 90 today, and that'll feel cool compared to the heat wave expected. 93 tomorrow, 92 for your Tuesday, and later in the week, setting records, 96 up to 98 degrees this week. So it's going to be a hot one. Stay cool.
I'm looking forward to lugging around couches when I come back with a truck in 98 degree
heat.
That's
right. Sorry.
I'll be begging to be a part of the cut sheet.
There's a heat dome. There's a heat dome that is going to put itself over the Northeast just in time for Nick Cale to bring his family finally after almost, 2 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw a station in Phoenix is looking for a morning guy. Hey, Kristen, I'll see you in 21 months.
Well, thank you, Discover Lancaster, for sponsoring Kale & Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 6:15, let's kick off another week with another big take.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
It's brought to you by United Tire. The Big Take this morning, race in America. The more things change, the more they stay the same. You know, since the beginning of time, there has been racism and hatred towards people of other backgrounds. But over the course of time, however, things have gotten significantly better. In fact, as of 2019, race relations in America were at an all-time high, per a Gallup poll that revealed 72% of Americans thought race relations were, quote, pretty good in the United States. And then enter George Floyd. Then enter the Biden administration. An opportunity for the left to revert back to page one of their playbook, fear. And this is nothing new. Race hustlers have always been selling division and distraction as they line their pockets with green, from Al Sharpton to Jemele Hill. The industry is alive and well as the Democrats love to sell racism and bigotry and phobias and fear because, well, they don't have any policies to campaign on other than abortion, climate change, fear-driven, diversity, equity, and inclusion, fear-driven, student loan bailouts, emotionally driven, Donald Trump, straight white men, Catholics, Christians, they are the boogeyman for progressives and left-wingers. But make no mistake about it, Democrats in politics right now are full of fear. Today, nothing they are doing is working. Career political advisors such as James Carville and David Axelrod perplexed at the polls. Nothing is sticking. But when we talk about fear and racism, the culprits since October 7th have been the far left. Hamas started this when they slaughtered innocent Jews. Ivy League schools, college students, and progressives are the ones routinely displaying anti-Semitism. And when it pertains to a goat, an outlier, and a straight white female, Caitlin Clark is on the receiving end of hatred from the left. The greatest scorer in the history of college basketball, men's or women's, has been vilified and targeted for over 2 months by mainstream media as well as WNBA players who are predominantly African-American and lesbian. What she has said is hardly anything, but what she has had to endure, that's deplorable. And yes, I use that word for a reason, and you know why. But what Stephen A. Smith had to say at the end of last week on ESPN took it to another level. And we'll get to what he said in a moment. But let's get back to the title of today's Big Take for a moment. Race in America. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Today is June 17th. 30 years ago today, June 17th, 1994, was the infamous O.J. Simpson Bronco chase down the interstate in Los Angeles. And that case was open and shut. But it had everything. Hollywood, sex, drugs, sports, sadly, domestic violence, tragically, murder, media sensationalism, and of course, race. OJ got off because of the race card. Johnny Cochran and the prior LA riots after the horrific beating that Rodney King took. Here was a CNN documentary on the racial component of the OJ Simpson trial. Listen and watch this clip.
Deliberations begin.
You don't go back in time.
The tension surrounding the trial is transparent. And a clear racial division emerges.
This idea of race was something that the defense wanted out there. They wanted that in the dialogue because it benefited them.
Two-thirds of Americans think OJ is guilty. 77% of whites think he's guilty. 72% of blacks think he's innocent.
Based upon the way this case was going, along racial lines by the end of the case, that if you had a videotape confession and even videotape of the murder, you'd have people say, I don't believe it. That tape was doctored. That's how bad it got.
The defense wanted race to be a part of the conversation. Democrats today always want race to be a part of the conversation. And think about that with the OJ trial. 77% of white people thought OJ did it. I'd like to talk to the 23% that did not. And 72% of black people thought that OJ did not do it. I would also like to chat to the other 28% that thought he was not guilty. And fast forward 30 years later, and race relations are being manipulated and abused by the far left and the mainstream media. It's just rebranded now as the culture wars. Stephen A. Smith of ESPN loves to go beyond sports and dabble in politics. And occasionally he'll say stuff when it comes to politics or the social arena that I agree with. But he has been critical of Biden and the Democrats. He's also acknowledged Donald Trump's success in his first term. But for every one thing that he says that I agree with, he says three or four other things that I do not agree with. Like what he had to say on Friday on ESPN about Donald Trump and MAGA when it pertains to Caitlin Clark in the WNBA. Listen and watch this clip.
If you're white, you're bright, you're right, and as a result, the shine comes your way in the eyes of a lot of people in America. Let's transition. Very uncomfortable to touch on, but just factually correct. You have somebody that's a presidential candidate. What is his claim to fame? Make America great again. What have people interpreted that to mean? Make America white again.
You've got to be kidding me. We've reached this point. First of all, right off the top here, lumping in Caitlin Clark with Donald Trump, not necessary, nor is it relevant. Hell, nobody even knows what Caitlin Clark's political views are. To me, this is racism, this is stereotyping, this is hypocrisy personified by the left. And I thought the left was the party that says, don't judge, be inclusive, etc., etc. For all we know, Caitlin Clark could be a progressive left-wing lunatic. But let me get down to the meat of that clip. MAGA. Make America great again. Or, as Stephen A. was implying, make America white again. And then he'll backpedal and say, I didn't say it. I was referring to what other people imply. Let me educate Stephen A. Smith. The MAGA movement, as Dawn says, was not created by Donald Trump. He answered the call. He answered the movement. Making America great again is basically Ronald Reagan rebooted 35 years later. We as a movement want America first. Instead of spending billions on wars and funding Ukraine, we want our nation taken care of first and foremost. We don't want to be the global police anymore. We want a secure border where people cannot enter illegally with sinister intentions, such as terrorists. Do we have to go back to the ISIS story last week in Philly, New York, and LA? What about the cartels? Gang members like MS-13, fentanyl, and people that can rape, kill, or drug legal, tax-paying citizens of this country. We want our economy to boom. We want manufacturing jobs brought back to America, not outsourced to other nations. We want lower taxes, capitalism, not socialism. We want merit to guide the way, not who you sleep with or how you identify. We want less government. We want our constitutional rights protected, not slowly stripped away, and we don't want to be the you-know-what to China. So if all of that equates to making America white again, then I can't help you. So what's next, Stephen A.? What stupid remark will we say this week? Perhaps you'll say you'll be imprisoned, like Rachel Maddow, or AOC, or Brian Stelter. You're smarter than that, and your comments, in my opinion, are reprehensible, but expected. Because you're afraid, just like James Carville, just like David Axelrod and all the other hosts on MSNBC, CNN, and ESPN losing their mind because Donald Trump might have gone from 9% of the black vote to 15%. Oh my God, the humanity. The playbook on finishing off Trump to this date on June 17th has not worked. And maybe it will by November 5th. But right now, nothing the Democrats are doing is working. But using Caitlin Clark as a political pawn to push a narrative that Caitlin Clark fans are Trump fans and are racist, no matter the fact is, here's the bottom line. Since October 7th, it is your side of the aisle that has shown racist colors. From Jewish civilians and students to an outlier in basketball who is nothing but the best of all time. And hatred has been oozing out of the pores of the left. And why? Because Jewish people and Caitlin Clark, they kind of look the same, right? They both look white, so it's acceptable. Here's Bill Maher and Charlemagne the God on Friday night talking about the hatred towards Caitlin Clark and being pulled into these culture wars. Listen and watch this.
But you don't think it's a problem that this young woman, there's so many examples where, I mean, black people are very marketable.
Well, ask yourself
and
this.
She seems to have been indoctrinated into this. They don't see it as marketable, so it doesn't matter how hard I work.
Well, Asian,
I don't think that's accurate or healthy. When people come into the league and they're like the biggest thing in college, isn't that a big deal?
No, because Asian Ocean was the biggest thing when she came out of South Carolina. That's where I'm from. So she was one of the biggest things when she came out of South Carolina, number one draft pick. And she didn't get all of that. So what do you attribute that to?
You're saying that's racism.
No, I'm not saying it's racist. I'm just saying that I think Asia Wilson has a point. And I think sometimes when, black women say certain things, we should listen, especially her, because I'm not in her shoes.
I don't know. But why was Serena Williams such a big star? Because people like that. They didn't not watch her because she was black, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So where are we with this?
I don't know. I'm just sitting back observing the conversation, but I do think
you're in the conversation. What do you mean?
I'm not a woman.
You're in this conversation.
Now he's just observing the conversation. Let me explain it one last time. Asia Wilson, Angel Reese, you are very good. In fact, you might be great, but there's only one GOAT. There's only one greatest of all time. It's Caitlin Clark. She has scored more points in the history of the sport than anybody, male or female. See how simple that was? But kudos to Clark, who has taken the high road, saying, quote, "It's not something I can control, and to be honest, I don't see a lot of it. People can talk about what they want to talk about. I'm just here to play basketball. Like I said, basketball is my job. Everything on the outside I can't control, so I am not going to spend time thinking about it," which is incredibly well said. But the left, much like with Trump, Caitlin can't seem to stop thinking about you as you and Donald Trump live rent-free in their heads. It's 2024, and when it pertains to the left and race, the more things change, the more they stay the same. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
Big Take brought to you by United Tire. If you drive a car and you want it to last and not cost you a ton, in the long run, we'll get your car to United Tire and service today. Visit one of their 10 locations throughout the Delaware Valley. Visit UnitedTire.com. That's UnitedTire.com. Don't drive alone. Drive United. 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in. We'll get to a lot of stuff with Biden and Trump from the weekend. The debate rules are set. Donald Trump in Detroit, Joe Biden in Los Angeles. As we continue Monday morning, Nick, Dawn, and Greg, it's Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
So it was a very busy weekend for Joe Biden and Donald Trump. A bunch of stuff to hit on here as we conclude the 6 o'clock hour this morning. But I want to start with, before we get to each guy specifically, Trump in Detroit, Biden in Los Angeles. The rules are officially set for the CNN debate. And I found this to be pretty fascinating because we already know that they're doing everything they can to make it as accommodating as possible for Joe Biden. But now everything is officially set. So as we know, we're just about 10 days out. It's coming up next Thursday, June 27th on CNN, live from Atlanta, Georgia. Jake Tapper, or as Trump would say, Fake Tapper, and Dana Bash will be in Atlanta to be the moderators. And the format is as follows. This is according to CNN's website if you want to read the finalized and updated rules. It'll be a 90-minute debate, which will include two commercial breaks, according to the network, and campaign staff may not interact with their candidate during that time. So over the course of those 90 minutes, as Joe Biden is going through the debate, if they go to a commercial, Biden's cut man can't come into the ring, sponge him down, and rinse out his mouthpiece. All right, that's right off the top. Both candidates have agreed to appear at a uniform podium, and their podium positions will be determined by a coin flip. Microphones will be muted throughout the debate, except for the candidate whose turn it is to speak. While no props or pre-written notes will be allowed on the stage, candidates will be given a pen, a pad of paper, and a bottle of water. So we know Trump doesn't really need any of those materials or objects, but they're going to give Joe a pen, a paper, and an Aquafina. Some aspects of the debate, including the absence of a studio audience, will be a departure from the previous debates. But as in the past, the moderators, quote, will use all tools at their disposal to enforce timing and ensure a civilized discussion. Something tells me that'll be the moment where they just go off on Trump and give Biden the benefit of the doubt. In order to meet the qualifications for the debate, candidates must satisfy the required requirements outlined in Article 2, Section 1 of the Constitution. Both Biden and Trump meet those requirements, as do RFK Jr., Cornel West, and Jill Stein. Participants must also file a formal statement of candidacy to the Federal Election Commission. All five have done so. But here is the big thing for RFK Jr. According to CNN's rules, you must be showing up in four separate national polls of credibility with at least 15% polling. And those requirements for the reporting of the polling, you have to be at 15% in four of the following: CNN, ABC News, CBS News, Fox News, Marquette University Law School, Monmouth, NBC News, The New York Times Siena College, NPR Marist, Quinnipiac, The Wall Street Journal, and the Washington Post. Though not impossible for Kennedy's case, it's likely that the candidates other than Biden and Trump will not meet these requirements. RFK Jr. is sitting at about 15% in three of these qualifying polls, but currently only on the ballot. And we've talked a lot about this in the last couple of months. Will he get on enough ballots for states? He's only on in six states, which makes him currently eligible for only 89 electoral college votes. As you know, the magic number is 270. So when you go through these rules and you rattle them off the way I did, is it me or is this merely the most insulated, protected environment that you can have Joe Biden possibly in? And this is one of those ones where I think you're going to have Trump being Trump, but it's so set up to favor Biden that the moment Trump acts like Trump, which he will, which I'm not saying is a bad thing, it's going to be labeled Trump trying to bulldoze Joe Biden. That's my initial takeaway and impression from these rules. Anything that stands out to you, Dawn?
Two things. Number one, never in the history of the United States of America have we seen a debate this early, obviously, before the conventions, before they're even the official candidate. And so that one, and the time of 9 p.m. Eastern time, this is a live debate, not before a live audience that we've talked about. But to me, I still think that the Democrats want to see how well he does, how well Biden does. And if he can, this gives them time to reboot if they need to. Because at this point, they're saying, look, we've given him every advantage. We've bent over backwards. But the 9 o'clock at night time, he's best, I would say, early afternoon.
Between noon and four?
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. When he has things on his schedule?
But look at over the weekend with Obama. I mean, that was, you know, at some point, it just you just cringe when you see Obama has to kind of take him by the hand. And it's just like, you cringe at this. And so are Democrats teeing him up to take him out?
I mean, a lot of people were talking about that clip of him in L.A., where he kind of froze up for a couple of seconds and then Obama had to grab his hand. I mean, really, it was no different except for the fact that he wasn't wandering off. It was no different than the fact when he was just in Italy a few days ago at the G7. Yeah. It's more of these moments. But you're right. Think about the timing. June 27th, compared to the convention in August. It gives them roughly 6-7 weeks. You know, if this goes terrible, not only from an optics standpoint, but from a polling standpoint, if his approval rating and his net favorability goes even further. But I would say this. Here's one thing where I disagree with, and I don't think you were just being adamant about anything specifically, but you said he's at his best from noon to four. I would argue Joe Biden, and it's not to say he's at his best. It's when he's at his most lively is in these primetime settings where the assumption, the allegations are that he's been hopped up on something. Because we've seen him at, you know, the G7. We've seen him in Italy. We've seen him in France. We've seen him poop his pants, allegedly. And by the way, that rhymed. But at nighttime, when he gives these big national speeches, the State of the Union, and he's on all the different networks, and it's a very short period where, hey, Joe, I need you for 60 minutes to be dialed in tonight. I need you out there showing energy. And I need you shouting, and I need a little of anger from you, and, you know, do what you do. I mean, what we have seen, what we have been told, this guy is, he's the life of the party behind the scenes. He's full of vigor. He's sharp as a tack. Every time we see him in public, he's mumbling and bumbling and stammering around. But it's these, especially, and here's the other thing, with the crowd, with a live debate, with an audience, there could be moments that derail him, trip him up, or drown him out. Now, he's going to be in, like, basically a library, so to speak. There's going to be no noise, and it's going to be distraction-free. Like, if he can't get through 90 minutes with two commercial breaks, how's he going to get through another 4 years? That's the thing that I think you have to realize, and I think Trump needs to come out swinging and really take the fight to him right off of Jump Street. Don't let him get comfortable. I would actually encourage Trump to be as argumentative and combative as possible. And I know they're going to mute microphones and things like that. But I would not let I don't think the proper advice is for Trump to show decorum in this setting.
I disagree.
Really? With everything he's been put through, attacked, all the because, yeah, you know, they're already running these ads state to state across the country with convicted criminal. I think he's fighting for his life. I would come out and take the fight to him, fire with fire.
I think that, well, but I think that he can do all of that while being respectful. And even if Joe Biden, whatever's going on with Biden, mm-hmm. and they engage, just almost act like you feel sorry for him.
Really?
Yep. Because
buy into the sympathy?
Because if you let Biden go,
yeah,
and this was that one horrible debate that they went back and forth, and I just remember it was like two old guys going, "You clown, no, you're a clown," and Trump kept interrupting him.
Well, they are two old guys.
And the problem was if you let Biden go and speak more than one sentence, watch what happens.
Mm-hmm.
He loses his train of thought.
Oh, yeah.
He says something that you either cannot understand what he's saying, or then he starts mixing up. He doesn't know where he is. He mm-hmm. doesn't know who he's talking about. So I would say with Trump, he can still be strong and talk about the issues that obviously he has been the most successful at during his presidency. But I think that if he shows the decorum and respect, I think it will be much more effective. They're banking on him as far as being combative and not getting into the issues.
855-839-1210. If you want to jump in, Joe Biden in Hollywood with the 1% elitists. Donald Trump in the hood. We'll get to those stories as we continue. It's Kale and Company back after this.
Well, we already took our summer road trip over the weekend. Okay, it was in Lancaster, PA for the Junior Olympics qualifiers. But still, I mean, we're kicking off summer road trip season. And do you know, though, if your vehicle is road ready, road trip ready, you got to make sure. My friends at Piazza Premium Automobiles, they're going to help make sure you and your family are safe on the roads this summer. The service centers of the Piazza Premium dealers not only handle all your regular maintenance needs, but also diagnose possible issues before they occur. Just schedule a service appointment online today. Visit PiazzaPremiumAutomobiles.com for that dealer nearest you, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, PIA, ZZA, PiazzaPremiumAutomobiles.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Got a tweet last night. So we just pulled this up real quick from one of our great listeners and also one of our Twitter contributors, Manrico T19403.
Ah, yes.
Sent a tweet last night. He said, thanks for the suggestion regarding DeChambeau on Wednesday's show for the U.S. Open. I took your suggestion and placed a small wager on him, and with the win, I sent 50% of the winnings to the bike ride via GregStockerSucks.com. Thanks for your astuteness, and I'm happy to split the winnings for a good cause.
Nice.
Yeah.
So he won because of your tip on...
Yeah, I think he heard your FanDuel read on Wednesday when you brought me into the read and asked me who I was picking.
Exactly.
And I gave you DeChambeau.
Yep.
Which, FanDuel wants to throw me about 5% of that for that contribution for a live read that's not mine, by all means. 855-839-1210. I kid. Let me wrap up here with Ed in Delran. Go ahead, Ed. Give us the catchphrase right off the top. Go ahead. Say it.
Are you better off? Let's ask the Ronald Reagan question. Are you better off than you were 4 years ago? Name your category, and I'll tell you if you're better off or not. So here we go. By the way, I just say you personally, Nick. I hope you had a happy Father's Day over the weekend if you're a dad.
He's just bulldozing, so it's fine.
I mean,
4 years ago was COVID, so we can't sit here and say you were better off 4 years ago because you weren't, because it was COVID.
So we go 2018, 2019? 6 years ago, is that better?
Okay, but I'm just saying you can't say 4 years ago because 4 years ago was COVID.
Okay, 2 years.
2 years.
All right, you got me.
Okay, thank you.
Are you better off?
Pick your year, Ed, minus 2020.
Are you better off with Biden?
Well, that
no freaking way. The guy's a clown show and belongs in a nursing home.
What else you got, Ed?
What else do I got?
Yeah,
I got the fact that let's see, he's caused inflation. He screwed up the border.
Yeah,
he has got the worst foreign policy. We got wars all over the Middle East. Our enemies think we're a joke. Come on, let's go on and on all day with this.
No, I know that, Ed. I'm just wondering what else you have, because on my screener it says you wanted to talk about Murphy as well.
Oh, yeah, Meathead, a guy that says and when he ain't even going to be in office in 2028, he outlaws diesel car and truck, so he don't even get the credit for it. That'll put every car and truck dealership out of business in New Jersey. How in the world is anybody going to get parts for anything with gas or oil?
Yeah.
Diesel.
I agree. Ed, appreciate the call and the passion, as always. Just exclude 2020. Stocker, that Stocker's head popped up.
Here's what I'm saying, is if the talking point is, are you better off than you were 4 years ago, you're not. So they need to, there's so many, Ed named a bunch of different things that mm-hmm. they can run on.
Yep.
Don't do the, are you better off than you were 4 years ago, because it's a trap and it's easy for them to say, no, you weren't.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, no, valid. 855-839-1210 if you want to get in. We got to get to Hollywood and Detroit. I didn't want to rush through these two stories because I noticed something over the weekend. I had a great conversation with my wife's uncle yesterday about party realignment, what the Democrats now consist of and what the Republican Party consists of. And also something that really stood out to me Friday when I pulled into Trump National Philadelphia for a round of golf and what I observed. It might not be what you expect, and this will go into our stories with Biden in L.A. and Trump in Detroit, and I'll put that together and we'll connect all the dots in hour number two. Dawn will have some news to kick off the 7 o'clock hour, and we're back after this on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.